I'm here to heal you, but try not to slip on these stupid ribbon units. This is Core.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Core. This is Core, the Heroes of the Storm podcast with me, Scott Johnson, Bo Schwartz, and John Jagger. Guys, I feel like talking about skins for a second. Just some skins.
Oh, boy.
Let's have some deep.
Ooh, tell me more.
Deep skin talk. Wait. some deep talk about skins in the game, master skins in particular. And I've got a. It's actually funny that this is part of our discussion today because I was just thinking about spending the. Nearly 15k gold I have right now, 10 of it on a master skin, which I haven't done in a while, specifically for Carl Jim, for Karazim. And I'm very hesitant for two reasons. One, I freaking hate his master skin. I think it's ugly and dumb.
Number one.
Yeah.
Disagree.
And two, this gold could be spent on a character, or I'm almost 15k now that I've worked my way back up from the last big expenditure I made. And I could afford Oreo, I'm going to call her. When Oreo comes out, I can just buy her outright. But, Bo, you say disagree. I know you disagree on the look of that skin, but let's talk about why I'd even want it. Like, what is the point of master skins? Well, you might argue that with a master skin in a game where you walk in there looking all master skinny, people will see that and go, oh, a formidable foe. Someone who has worked hard to... achieve at the very least level 10 and then also afford, you know, they played enough to afford the gold it takes to get a master skin. There's no other way to buy a master skin. Nay, this is truly a gladiatorial opponent before me. That's the idea, right? It's to shock and awe, intimidate, to scare me.
The master skin immediately communicates that you are level 10 on a character.
Yeah.
And even with the stim pack, it takes some time. So... to me, there's value there that are not present in other skins, no matter what you think about how they look.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Let me play devil's advocate to this.
Please.
What if I take my level one, everybody has it, came for free, Artana skin, and I put him on a poverty horse, and I go riding into battle... and I build an expectation on the other team. Oh, look at this Artanis. He's got no skin variation, riding around on a poverty horse. I don't have to worry about him. He's not gonna... oh, no! He got me with his phase prism. How did he make that shot? What if you reverse it on him?
Well, that's what you have just described is the ancient, like pool hustle. Like, you say, oh, I've never played pool before. What's this, a stick? Now, which ball do I hit? And then you do a couple of bad moves in the beginning, and then you wipe the four clean and take all their money. It's that kind of thing. And so my argument would be, it's just like portraits. So we had a portrait that has a big indicator of where you're at in Hero League, at least before this season stuff. It was a great way to scare people off that you were super high level, or you could do the stupid thumbs up Facebook freebie one, like we did a few times, to make people think you're a bunch of wing nuts, right? So the strategy... is there. It's just that one of the options is super expensive in the form of, you know, 10K gold. So Bo, make an argument. Why should I want them and why is it a big deal? If John can do like he's going to do and just hustle somebody out of their, well, in this case, out of their points, out of their game.
I definitely agree with the age-old tale of looking like a hamster when you're really a dragon.
Mm.
Or I think that's the tale. Yep, I don't know.
I heard that story.
Yeah.
As a kid, I would sit at the feet of my parents as they told me the great tale of the hamster and the dragon.
And you know, I get that that's a thing, but I think actually what I like about it, I feel like probably you're going to evaluate that, like that kind of trick only works once. Once you realize the hamster is really a dragon in disguise, then you act accordingly. What I like about the master skins is how it affects teammates, you know, when you play solo queue and that kind of thing. I like presenting, as in we all load into the Nexus and boom, check out my sweet Kael'thas cape and my sweet mount that I earned. Now you know you're in hands you can trust.
And you don't mean this in like a cocky way. Some health right? insurance. You don't mean this. Are you going to sell them on Amway while you're in there? That's a good idea too.
Yeah.
But are you saying, okay, so, okay. Hey, teammates, look at me. I'm prepared for what we're doing. Or are you saying, hey, teammates, look at me. I'm rad and you suck. Like I'm saying interpretation, especially in solo queue, is sort of impossible to gauge, right?
Well, no, but like when I see, like when I, if we load up into a random game and I've got like Master Kael'thas and the Tyrael's got a Master Tyrael and there's a Gray Man with a Master Skin, I'm like, we've all, it communicates a certain level of time played. Like you've played this hero enough that probably you understand more of its nuances. You're better with it. It's probably one you prefer. And you've invested 10,000 gold, which is not the easiest to come by, especially when you're use free to play gold to buy heroes like I do. Like I'm always like hard up for more Master Skin money. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like it's small, but I feel like there's like, even if it doesn't affect gameplay at all, it makes me feel better as a player in the game to wear that skin than to wear any other skin. Like I'm always like, no, I feel good. I feel confident. So I'm not going to wear my scrubby pants to work and my scrubby like t-shirt with holes into it. I'm going to wear a tie. I'm going to wear a belt. There's going to be underwear under my pants. I'm going to have fragrance on because I'm a professional.
Right.
So you when you show up to fragrance. A match with a Master Skin, I'm a professional. And when other people show up, I'm like, oh, you didn't just wear your scrubby boxers to go to work today. You put on clothes, real professional clothes.
Sure.
So
I'm pretty sure Bo just made a case for don't dress for the rank you are, dress for the rank you want.
Yes!
Yeah, I think also you did.
Title.
I did. No, I totally get what you're saying. You're dressing for success. That's literally the argument you're making. And I don't disagree with you. Let's take it just one step further back to where my argument is, which is, what if it's a dumb skin? So what if it's that chocolate one that what's his name wears?
Muradin. No. Candy King Muradin?
No, not that one. That's one you buy. It's
the Butcher. That's the Butcher. The
yeah, the Butcher it. Chocolate. The
caramel pieces?
Yes. I freaking hate it. And
look,
that's...
Yes. Ties are the stupidest thing. It's the stupidest piece of clothing in the world is a tie. It covers nothing. It doesn't tie anything to anything else. It's literally a piece of cloth. You tie in a knot around your neck. It's dumb. Yet it is the symbol of professionalism the world over. Stupid, yes. Professional, also yes. So
I agree.
I didn't make the world. I was just born into it.
No. So, I totally agree with you. So like when I put on my Jaina skin, that sounds like some creepy serial killer. When I put on, I have to put lotion on it first.
Buffalo Scott.
When I put on her Master Skin for a game, I have pride in that. It's a great looking skin. Maybe one of my favorites in the game. I love the color combo. She looks really great, by the way, on Tyrael's charger with certain color tones. And what's that other one? The Death Malphail's mount. She looks amazing in her darkest color variation of her Master Skin on top of that mount. It's actually pretty impressive. So I'm into this idea, and that looks good. And it shows that I was level 10 and invested the money and love Jaina, blah, blah, blah. So all the things you're talking about, I have dressed for success when Jaina dons her Master Skin. But when I put on chocolate-covered stupidness with Butcher, or I don't know what's going on with Karazim's thing. It's just dumb. It's dumb looking.
Dude, the Karazim skin is awesome. We're going to differ on this.
No.
I like the Karazim skin.
Right. It looks like he bolted a metal plate to his head.
Yeah. And his shoulders things. And then like the fist things just aren't practical. And it's just not a cool Master Skin. It doesn't make me go, oh, the ultimate in monk attire, everyone. Look at him. I think, no, look at the guy who found stuff in his backyard and made it work. That's
and
how
I feel like his neck balls have gotten out of control on that skin.
Wow.
Neck balls. Exactly. His neck balls are all wrong. Like, that is a busted up skin. If that was better, I would have spent it long time ago. This 10K gold would have been long gone, but I just can't bring myself to freaking do it.
I think Carl Jim needs less clothes. I'm sort of with you in the sense that it would have been better because, you know, when you cast... Is it Epiphany? Or what is the one that makes you naked? There's an ability in Diablo 3 where you get naked.
Yeah.
For 3 seconds, Serenity or something like that.
Something like that.
Like, his Master Skin should literally be him in underwear. Like, I think I'm with you on that.
All right. Well, I wasn't going to go that far. But I will say this. He is there any chance he ever gets any love in that regard? Because didn't we have a problem with Leoric, and all it was his master skin had a different, you know, garbage can for a helmet. That was basically it.
He becomes Skeleton Pope.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Pope. That's right. He's a Pope thing. It hides his best feature, which is skeleton face. And the rest of him looks the same. Diablo's stuff's a little better, but, you know, there are cases you could... There's lots of places in the game where you're like, well, that's not much of an upgrade. And I guess that's what I'm saying. Some of their best skin work is going to these epic skins that you have to pay cash for. I wish that their best work went into master skins, because those represent the most blood and sweat on the part of the player. It represents the most grind and hard work and earning potential in the game. Like, it just feels like that should be the end all be all of skins. And I know it's subjective, and I know what I think might be ugly, Bo thinks looks good, and vice versa. So I know it's impossible to come to a complete consensus. But generally speaking, it does feel like they have spent more of their talent inventory on skins you got to pay $10 for, $6 for, bundles for. Anyone disagree with that? Because that seems obvious to me. That feels like an objective truth to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. I think where this becomes a problem, and I'm thinking about this in conjunction with how Overwatch is playing out with today's announcement, your little prize pack you got today, is that for me, on a hero I have a master skin for, I don't want to buy another skin for them. That sounds weird, but like, I have the Kerrigan master skin now. I don't want to have any other skins, even if they look like the other skins I think look great. I want to wear the master skin in my games because I want people to know I wore title work today. I can play this character real good. And is that a problem for heroes? Should they have done this effectively? Like, do you think a lot of people maybe feel, I think I'm the only one that feels the way I do on our show today, but can you imagine that this might be a case for, like, why wouldn't they have done it in Overwatch, I guess, is my question.
That's a really great question. Why not master skins in Overwatch? I actually think there's an argument you can make there. I mean, you have the same kind of problem. Would you pay for it with that in-game space credit stuff you have in the game, or would you would it be an auto unlock given the fact that these aren't pay for type heroes? Like, maybe that's all differently handled, but the idea of me showing off that I have an enhanced version of a character because I played the hell out of them seems like an okay idea. What is that level, though? Since characters don't have individual levels, I don't know how they'd implement it. John, do you know how they'd do it?
Well, I just to kind of go back a little bit to what Bo said, I don't think you're the only one who feels that way. And in fact, I would even maybe one up you by saying I kind of feel that way in Overwatch. So you take a character like Tracer, and I don't like either of the variations of her legendary. I think the punk is kind of cool, but it's not really what I'm going to use. I think her racing one, I kind of like that the helmet looks like a bowler hat, but beyond that, it's also not really my thing. So I wouldn't want to use those purely on looks alone, but when I get a legendary skin, there's that temptation of, oh, but this is the legendary one. This is the one I should use. Mm-hmm. Anybody with 250 gold can afford the one that I'm using right now. I should use the legendary because that one's more rare and therefore better. And so I get that temptation even in Overwatch. And so I do feel this way a little bit in Heroes, although I feel it both ways sometimes too, where I have Kerrigan at level 9 right now, very close to 10. But I use the Countess skin because I like that it gives her she turns into a bat for a mount. I think that's really neat.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I think, well, would I buy the Master skin? I like it, but I don't think I like it more than this, and I don't know if it's worth the 10,000 to switch to.
Yeah, I had this problem with Vala, and I ended up buying her. I did both. I ended up getting her Master skin, but I prefer her Halo one or her Vampire Hunter one. Thing.
Yeah.
Both those are really cool. So it's I don't know. Again, I just think some of their best work is being saved for other stuff. And I don't just mean the themey ones. Like, nobody's here to make an argument that Muradin's candy skin is anything more than just the stupidest thing ever made by man. But there it is. And it was like $4, so I paid for it. You know, what are you gonna do? Anyway, we'd love to know what you guys think. Do you think it would actually hurt? Do you think it's true that you know, does it actually hurt skin sales in Heroes for them to have these master skins? In other words, you know, if you've got a nice master skin, why spend money on anything else? Jane is a good example. She's got a great master skin, and then she's got like a billion other skins to buy. Do you think it hurts her to have a great master skin so that people are less inclined to buy that Asian one or the, you know, the whatever?
I have the master skin, and I bought the Tempest one early. I never wear it now that I got the master skin, and I don't want to buy any of her other skins. Like, I'm in the exact boat. I've got the master skin. When I play Jaina, people know I'm the master Jaina and not the loser Jaina.
I mean, I don't know if we can say what percentages are going to be across the board, but I can say I think Muradin's master skin is one of the coolest looking master skins for a hero. To me, it just it fits that fantasy for him. And as a result, I have not bought the Magni skin or the Candy skin or any of those because I keep saying, no, I'll get him to 10 at some point and I'll be good and I won't need to buy another one. But I also think that this becomes less of a problem if they would put more skins in the game.
Yeah, just kind of period across the board, straight up, give us some more skins, generally speaking, and not just more Artha skins, because that we have enough of those for now, I think. I think we have enough Artha skins to last for a while. One final thing I would just say, all this argument aside, I still believe, I've said it before, early on an episode of the show, that I kind of wish that Master Skins just came with level 10. You know, or were cheaper or something. The fact that I can't unlock them till 10 and then I have to spend 10K gold, which is no small amount of money, drives me slightly crazy still. I just feel like it's a thing you should unlock and earn. Maybe the level cap needs to go higher until you get it or something. But when I hit 10, it would be so nice to be able to say, here is a sign that I have played this character a lot. I've gotten this master skin and I did it because I got to 10, not because I got to 10 and had a bunch of money sitting around. Yeah. Or let me pay cash to do that if I don't have the gold at the time. Like, I know that seems lame and just more part of this sort of nickel and diming, but I would be totally fine with it if I got there and it said, you can, like, as an improvement to what it is now, you can get this skin with gold. Oh, you don't have the 10K? You can pay, it pains me to say it, but you could pay 10 bucks to get it. Okay. I'd do that sometimes. Sometimes, not always. But at least give me the option. Right now, it's just like, well, I got to grind more gold to even get it. No one even knows I'm level 10 until I get it. It's just weird. That whole make me pay and make me get there. I think it's weird. And I don't understand the gameplay value of that.
It's a money. My tinfoil hat theory is a money sink. Yeah. You don't have enough things for you to dump your gold into besides free heroes. So master skins are a money dump.
Interesting.
What else is there? You can't buy stim packs.
Yeah.
You can't buy loot boxes with it. You can't do anything. There's not even repair bills in this game. Yeah. So
if there were all those things, that's a really good point. I hadn't really considered that. So maybe that goes away eventually when there are enough heroes to justify letting people spend all their gold on heroes.
Or if they come up with another way for us to spend gold. I think they were kind of banking on that rune system, if you remember way back in the alpha. I think they were banking on that being a nice little gold sink. And when that went away, I do think Bo's right. I think there's an element of, oh no, what are we going to have people spend gold on? There's nothing in the game for it anymore. We've essentially just made all of our heroes free to play if we don't put something in there. So we got to do it.
Well, now we move ever so gently from skins to specialist meta. Oh yeah, baby. It's a thing. Specialists are everywhere and they're kicking everyone's butt. And Zagara can eat a rock. She's pissing me off. She's dominating games in a way that's pretty crazy. But it's real. It's totally for real. But we've been talking about this a lot. We've been seeing it a lot. What is the current state of the specialist meta?
Yeah. Last week in particular, I went off, as they say, about tanks and supports being real carries. And just for the short version of it, basically, they're the biggest difference makers in the games as you get higher and higher in skill because of the effect they have in the game. I felt like I left something out, and this last week also really underscored it, too. Playing specialist has never been more important. Now, we've talked a lot about the buffs to the minion changes, but this lane hygiene that you have to take care of, making sure your lanes are pushed in, making sure you're capitalizing on opportunities, means that specialist role is super important on your team. And I've kind of, you know, said some maybe not so nice things about Hotslogs, but I'm going to use it now in this conversation. So if there's a symbol for the hypocrite in your Twitch chat there, then go ahead and start spamming that. But there's a nice little thing about team compositions and which are the most winningest. And the most winningest compositions have without fail at least one siege, and the most winningness, this is whatever, has two sieges actually. So you might have Zebras and Sylvanas, or Zagara and Zul on the team. And so there is definitely a narrative going on here where if you want to carry games, play tank and support, but definitely having that specialist, being good at both team fighting with your specialist and doing the PvE thing and not being late for either. You can't just do one. You got to do both, is really critical and is actually going to start winning you more games because of the changes to the minion waves. And that's played out in the past week. I cried about falling to Platinum 3 last week. I climbed back up to Diamond 5 again on the back, basically, of Zagara and Sylvanas. Pretty much mainlining those two characters for the most part.
And that was going to be my question. Are they the two you're talking about, you know, stacking two? Are they the two that you're most commonly seeing in these games?
Yeah, Nazebo, Zul, Zagara, Sylvanas, all high on the... It's not that they're specialists, it's that they're siege. So there's that. We've talked about the distinction of the different characters on Hotslogs before. They're categorized as siege, meaning this is not Medivh or it's not Abathur, although Abathur may fall under siege. But I think that the ones with a good presence in the team fight, I guess Abathur does count. Actually.
See, I think that's the trick. That's the trick to me, yeah. Is they've got to be good team fighters or else there's no point. Like, I noticed that you didn't mention the number one sieger in the game. Literally, it's a siege tank designed to siege walls down, but those guys are shit in a team fight. So you wouldn't want that stacked with another. Well, I mean, maybe you could with a stacked one, but you don't want that to be your single sieger necessarily. And if you're going to stack them, you may as well go with two that are great at siege and also great when the fight happens. And everyone else you've mentioned, Zebers, Zagara, Zul, they're all great in the team fights. That seems to be required, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think whatever specialist it is, it has to be good at not just wave clear. And let's make this distinction because I see this a lot. I'm taking Jaina. We don't need a specialist. She's good at wave clear. She is, but she expends her cooldowns and mana, which are extremely valuable for other things. So she is not an efficient lane clearer. Sylvanas can just clear stuff for free and shut things down and then still be fresh and fragrant for the next fight. No problem. Yeah, the adjectives are a little weird today. I'm sorry, yeah. Folks.
I'm trying to get my head around what she would actually apply to herself to smell better.
So ode to undead. All right. but, you know, basically these particular champions in the specialist category usually don't have to expend as much to get a lot of value versus any sort of assassin or tank. Joanna with Knight Takes Pawn. They can clear waves, but they're not going to push in a lane efficiently like some of these other heroes. So they're an important part of what you're putting on your team these days. So, you know, my advice is to take those out too and practice them and practice that style of play in your game.
Do you like, John, to see Siege take a bigger role and not be so backseat? Because it feels like day and night since that patch to me.
I mean, Sylvanas was my first favorite character. She was kind of my first love of heroes, and so seeing her suddenly become way more relevant than she was is exciting. But of course it was right at a point where I decided, okay, I'm gonna adapt my build to be more team fighty, and now all of a sudden it's all about pushing again. And oh man, that was what my last build was. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited every time it changes. You know, it fluctuates, it changes the game. You may not like it for a little bit, but yeah, that's the ever-changing nature of this beast.
Yep. A lot of talk about Siege, a lot of talk about Catapults, a lot of talk about did we talk about this last show? The statistical probability of your team winning based on who has Catapults out first?
Oh, I don't think we did.
We should talk about that. So, Bo, give me the 411.
All right, actually, I'm going to go. Let's see what the stats are right now. Okay, so also on your Hotslogs, folks, there's a little, under statistics at the top, there's a little button that's called Map Objectives. Now, the first thing that it shows you here is win rate with first catapult spawn, meaning the team that's able to spawn the first catapult of the game, how likely are they to win? And the number ranges on the high end from 90.9% at Infernal Shrines to 85% on Garden of Terror. And this is taking stats from all the different types of games in the most recent 30 days. So this effectively means if you let the enemy team get the first spawn of catapults, statistically speaking, you have a 1 in 10 chance of winning.
Oh.
Every in 10 times you're in that situation, one of them you'll pull out that comeback victory.
Oh, that's
so what that
low.
Means.
That seems so low to me. Seems
Which
so
is
low.
Why specialist is so important. Mm-hmm. You got to secure that first catapult because stats don't lie.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, though. I know a lot of people are getting real excited about this particular stat. I think it's high. I don't think you can look at it a 90% and say, that's not bad. But I don't think it's as bad as maybe some people are making it out to be. Because you have to think, catapults are going to spawn. The only map that they're not going to spawn on is Towers of Doom. No matter what, there are going to be catapults in every game because you have to clear at least one keep in order to take down the core. So there are matches where those catapults may not have played any actual role in winning it for their team. It could have been a stomp, and right. they could have just gone through and done it. It's going to happen.
Right.
90% is really high. I would say probably I would be far less concerned if it was maybe down in, like, 75% around there seems a little bit better, because if you're losing a keep, you are behind. And I do feel like there is an element of, if you lost the keep, you probably should have a harder time winning the game at that point.
But isn't the fear, I mean, the fear to me is that if you lose a keep, or what you've encouraged players to do is, the minute your keep goes down, that you're all just going to give up. Like, they're if
one
they buy,
in 10 is demoralizing.
Yeah, one in 10 right. seems very demoralizing. So if you've got that statistical thing in your head going into the game and you see first keep goes down, I mean, I've been in enough games where players give up for lots of dumb reasons, and I can see them parking their butt and stutter stepping in the Nexus for the next 12 and a half minutes while they let the stomp happen. That's my worry. It's not so much that these stats could actually mean anything, or that there isn't another statistical way to take the advantage back and get closer to a 50-50 on this, because there probably is. There's always is. But because people put that in their head, it's such a mental game that they'll just give up. And I can't stand early quitters in these games. I freaking hate it. Like, that's the worst thing, because now you know you've got 10 to 12 minutes where you either go and sit with the quitter or you keep playing your heart out and lose anyway. And I don't want that. So that seems unhealthy to the game for me, for whatever reason.
It does. And the maps have specific thing. I mean, it isn't just the catapults alone. And to be fair, I didn't really pay attention to this stat prior to the changes, so I don't have a comparison. It just got brought to my attention post changes. And the other thing that was being brought to my attention was just losing games suddenly out of nowhere, because the damn meeting, we weren't paying attention to the catapults and we were getting our Nexus blown up or our core blown up all the time. Yeah. And so it's just, there's a really huge priority in cleaning up lanes. You really are hamstrung. So one might say, well, all the things that have added up to that point where you've lost the first keep probably already tells a story that your chances are bad to lose the game. And yeah. So, you're facing a stronger team, someone's AFK on your team, something like that. But that is a demoralizing stat. I'd be more comfortable if it was 80 or 70. Like you're this is the game where we celebrated it because comeback mechanics. And how many games have we played, John, Scott, where we've come back and had a real good time doing it and loved this game for it?
Yeah.
That number really cuts deep on the narrative of what that game is. And I certainly don't feel like, in a lot of my Hero League games, comebacks are all that possible. Right. Generally speaking, once things start to go to shambles, that's the direction it's headed in for the most part.
I heard this really good podcast. I can't remember who it was. It may have been This American Life or something, but they were talking about, that's what it was. And it was Malcolm Gladwell has a new podcast, which I could not be more happy about, because that guy talks about crazy stuff. But it was about free throws and in the NBA who had the, I don't know if you, do you hear this, John? It was crazy.
I did hear this. Yeah. This was really good, actually.
Super interesting. The idea that, the idea was, and they had this guy who did it his entire career, he would shoot all of his free throws underhand and he would make them. He was like a 95% shot hitter and nobody was even close. And once in a while somebody would dabble in that, but then they would stop. But he kept doing it the entire time. And all the ones, some of the greatest players of all time, Will Chamberlain as an example, tried it once in a really clutch game, made every shot he took from underhand, then started doing overhand again and missed everything he ever took and was a terrible free throw shooter. Shaquille O'Neal could have been a great free throw shooter if he had just gone underhand, for example. And there's no rule that says you can't. There's absolutely no reason why you can't, except this weird mental idea that we have in our heads that it looks funny, right? That you just look like They call him a grandma shot. Like, it's got the most derogatory
it's the loser rule.
It is.
They call it a granny shot. Nobody wants to sound cool saying, oh, he shoots the granny shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Call it that, please.
So that's my whole point is that this is a situation kind of like that in my mind. Once you establish in your head that, well, that's just bad, like you say, Bo, the narrative sticks and you can't shake it. It's hard to. So I just think Blizzard has to be careful about this. There's two things at play here. One, they don't release these stats. So this is HOTS logs garnering data the best they can from how they get it, mostly from replays. That's not a very scientific way, nor the most accurate way to get this data. But because Blizzard doesn't offer an API that gives them any additional access, this is what we're left with. So that's number one. I think that's a mistake. I think Blizzard should own that data more. Number two, if the data shows weird anomalies like this, I think Blizzard has to get out in front of them and figure out a way to make this new lane meta work still and be a cool thing in the game, because I really actually do like the kind of the dynamic at play, but not have it so it's leaving this impression with people that if they lose their first keep, should pack up and get the hell out of there. Because then you know what'll happen? If people start believing in that, the hot slots data is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. It's going to say you have a 1% chance of making a comeback. It's a 1 in 20 chance because people are giving up more. Like
that. It's happening now. That's my, when I go into draft mode, I'm like, we need to get the first keep. I'm taking a specialist. Focus on the push. Don't focus on the fights. Rotate hard. Like these are the things that I've been doing and I've been seeing more. Like it's happening. At least I'm making it happen. Maybe I'm completely off my rocker, but yeah. You have to get that first keep. The earlier you get it, the better.
Yeah.
If you can get a first keep, even just push in one lane somehow with a terror at 10 minutes in, that team is gimped hard for the rest of the match. And the only way they're going to get to you is A, they team fight you, and B, hopefully they drafted a siege. Because if they just drafted a bunch of assassins, their pathway to your core is super slow.
Yep. Well, as someone once famously said,
help, help, it's happening.
There you go. It's happening. let's get on to the news today. Ariel, or as I like to call her, Oriole, or Oreo. That's her new name, is Oreo.
Oreo.
She got a video, both a, hey, here's what she does, and a, hey, check her out, she's in a trailer, and kind of a little lore video, which they seem to be sort of back on track with, best I can tell, which is nice. Anyway, she's also on the PTR. She is playable. I think we've all had a chance to mess with her, right? All three of us? Yes? Yeah. Maybe? No?
I did.
Okay. Bo, did you?
I did, actually.
Oh, okay, good. So
I played with, well, I didn't buy her. I tried her on the store.
Yeah, I did too. That's what I did. I think she might be a must buy for me though. And I'm basing this purely on kind of a dumb thing, and we talked about this on Twitter a little bit back and forth, some of us, but I think she is, as best I can tell, possibly the best lane clearing hero that is also support, that I can think of. Tassadar has his moments, but for the most part, most of them are kind of terrible at lane clear in the support category that are actual healers. And she heals and does great lane clear. She has that, I forgot the name of it, sweep move. What's it called? Ribbon sweep or
sweeping strike.
Sweeping maybe. Strike. She needs to send those things to the dry cleaners after every game because it's real nasty after a while. But anyway, this thing that just takes out her big ribbon things and just like smacks it in the middle. It's a very satisfying animation, sound effect, look, and everything. And there's lots of ways to spec it to make things be much worse in the center of that clap rather than on the periphery of it as it's coming in. And it's super cool, and it feels really good. And that was almost enough for me, outside of not really knowing exactly how her two ultimate choices are going to work or how well I'll do with her in terms of actual healing rhythm, for lack of a better term. Got to get some of that healing rhythm, son. But the idea of clearing lanes when I'm alone or when there's a need for it is really compelling to me from a healer standpoint. So that's my take on her. I'd love to hear what you guys think. John, what'd you think of her?
I really liked her. Again, I only got to try her in the store setting as well, so not a lot of actual practical practice with her, but got to mess around with her talents. I really like her builds. I really like the creative ways you can still be an effective healer with her while kind of focusing more on some of her utility. I'm a big fan of Detainment Strike, which is the move where she slaps you with the ribbon and knocks you back, and if you hit a wall, you get stunned. I think that can be made to be really strong. In fact, if you talent it, I was doing around 485 damage and getting a stun and moving enemies, all by the level 20 in the game I was playing. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be really effective. I love that at level 20, you basically get the ability to go anywhere if you talent into it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
she's got a lot of really cool utility. I think she's going to bring a lot to the table. She definitely falls into what we've heard them talk a lot about, which is they feel bad making healers just about healing. And I definitely feel like they put a lot of focus with her on we want her to do things other than heal. And I like it. I like the way they've done that with her.
I would argue that you wouldn't know. I mean, outside of us knowing this ahead of time, you wouldn't know she was healing. I mean, you can make kind of a guess because of who she is. And there's some, you know, indicators that way. But when you watch her just play, I defy you to show me how she looks like a healer. She really doesn't. She looks like some kind of weird damage character, some kind of weird assassin that happens to heal. And I am into that. Like, from just a feel standpoint, I thought she felt really good. And that's more than I can say for some of the more recent heroes where some of the stuff's a little clunky. Some of the mechanics are a little bit weird. She just felt real nice out of the gate, just real smooth rotation. None of it feels awkward or strange or like you got to do anything weird positionally. I don't know if they're marking her as easy, hard, or medium. Probably medium is my guess. But she feels real good to me. Bo, what are your thoughts?
Well, I did something different in the store, which was, so her heal, right? It expends all of her energy when you do it.
Yeah.
And there's a talent that lets you deal 30% damage, 30% of the expenditure in damage. So I think if you expend 2,000, you get like 600 damage or something like that. I think if my math is right.
Is that on the next hit?
When you cast the heal, it drains all of the hope, right? The hope meter runs to zero.
Right.
And it'll do damage and heal, but it'll do damage to enemies. There's another talent where every time you use it, you increase your maximum of the hope meter by 75.
Yeah. At max when you use it,
though. So what you do in the store is you turn on toggle cooldowns and you take those two talents. And then you just keep stacking it till you have about 20,000 hope points. And then you can one-shot Arthas and the Nexus. So I spent like an hour just building that up and just one-shotting Arthas over and over again.
Wow.
And I don't think it'll happen in a game, but man, it sure was fun to do.
Well, so, if you're building for damage, sure, why not do that in the game? Like, that sounds fine. But it sounds like in a way she's Karazim in a way. Like she can, she's a healer. She's also a Diablo character, but she's a healer when you need her to be, but then can be this whole other thing when you need her to be. And I'm all for that. So
I think that combo is going to be viable though. If you look at characters that are becoming popular, like Greymane diving in on enemy or on your allies, you know, taking a talent that will let you heal your allies and damage your enemies at the same time is going to be very, very effective. So he dives in, you throw down a heal, and it's going to be doing damage to him and healing your ally, which is going to help in the burst of a character like Greymane or Illidan. So I think it could be made to be really, really effective, but it's going to have to be in the right comp because you're either going to be wasting it as an attack spell or not getting any benefit as a heal spell. So you want to use it in a place where you're going to be doing both at the same time.
I don't have any real numbers in front of me, but it seems like her whip thing you were talking about that does the pushback, the knockback, seems like it also may be one of those in the game. There are others like it, but one of the sort of knockback mechanics in the game that has the most range and keeps her at the least amount of danger when she uses it. So that whole Greymane scenario there's two folds to that. One is he dives in, you can both heal and damage with the same blast, empty your hope, and then whip that dude out of there if it didn't kill him. And do it from a range that isn't putting you in a lot of jeopardy. She seems very versatile that way, and she also just looks awesome, dude. Just floating down the lane with these big ribbony business things and just looking all badass. She's cool. So I want her. I think I want her bad. I think I'm going to get her next week. And we think next week now, right? Like the PTR week.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely next week. Yeah.
I think she's a must buy for me. And I'm, you know, whatever. This game has turned me around. I play tanks and healers all the time. What the hell's going on? I don't even know. So she seems like a no-brainer. Some other balance changes of note coming up. Bo, do you want to break these down? What's coming?
Yeah, so very briefly, Kael'thas getting some stuff moved around. Most notably, he's got a new talent at 16 called Arcane Dynamo. Or Dynamo? No, it's Dynamo.
Dynamo.
Yeah, yeah, Dynamo. Dynamo.
Yeah, he's a Dynamo. So getting a casting a basic ability allows you to gain 3% ability power for 5 seconds, stacking up to a total of 15% ability power. Okay. And they've removed arcane power and given him this ability called Flamethrower at 20, which is going to increase the range of Flame Strike by 40%.
Whoa.
And reduce the cooldown by 4 seconds if he hits two or more heroes. It's kind of weird stuff. Just very subtle things. Hard to tell if it's nerf or not, but Kael'thas players be on the lookout for that. More notably, Tracer. So her total recall that gives her the heal at level 20 is going to increase the cooldown of it by 20 seconds. So if that's something you were relying on, waiting till late game to get that rewind time and heal, that's going to be, you're going to be able to pull that off less often. Yeah, so that's a big nerf. Kinda.
I don't love the Tracer nerfs. I really don't like this particular method. I'm not going to make a bold statement like Blizzard was wrong to do it. But this falls under that impression of like, your dad just got home and he knows you've been doing something wrong and you're just in trouble for it and you know it, because all of these nerfs are very clear. You're not picking the talents we want you to pick, so we're going to make those talents awful, and now maybe you'll pick the other talents. We tried to do light nerfs, now we're just going to make them flat out bad.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been doing wrong now. I feel like I'm in trouble for picking the talents that they're all nerfing.
You imagine Blizzard going, Blizzard's all my house, my rules, John. When you're 18, you can do what you want, but right now you live by my rules. I get it.
Yeah, it's rough. It's basically if her abilities got nerfed, it was a talent I was taking. So I'm a little sad.
One quick note, I just noticed this, it's not entirely related, but since we were talking about where characters are at and why they're getting changes. If you look at Hotslog's last 7 days data on hero wins, win percentages, it's kind of heartening. It's also, I mean, there's some places you're like, whoa, what's going on with Zagara? She's at 54.9. That's really high. Lost Vikings somehow are at 54.7. It makes sense to see Kerrigan there. We're seeing her a lot. Tyrael's way up. Jayne is way up. So you're seeing some of the changes that we're feeling naturally in the game. At the bottom, we have Medivh, despite the fact that a lot of people think he's great, but only in the most coordinated team, sort of great. And, you know, Uncle Dan's down there, Cho'Gall's down there, Chromie's a little higher than usual, winning more than Abathur, which is fine with me. But here's what I was getting at. I feel like this used to be a much worse range of numbers, of percentages. They're getting really honed in here. Like, we are talking about a very small difference between 54.9% on the high end for Zagara and 41.6% for Medivh. That's not that big of a gap. Like, it's kind of remarkable, I think, that they are getting really close to their goal, which is, hey guys, wouldn't it be nice if we were roughly 50% across the board, which is, you know, going to mean a 5% high and low on that 50 all the time, but that's pretty good. They seem to be, you know, honing in on that.
And I would even make the controversial argument that I wouldn't even count Medivh, Cho, or Gaul. I would probably say this list starts at the top and goes down to Gul'dan.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I just don't feel like they should be counted. They're not to say they're bad heroes. They're so different and they're so niche that I think it's really hard to have an expectation that they're going to be at 50%.
Yeah. Gul'dan, let's see, 44. It's not too bad for a character that's considered a little problematic in the early goings. You know who's way up and doing good, Bo, is your... Lunara's doing better than usual. Where is she? Can't find her now. Anyway, I've seen
her. I played 3 games with her this season, lost all 3, decided no Lunara for me until something changes. It's just better heroes. It's not that she's bad.
Yeah.
There are better picks right now.
That's true. I always just think of her sad and lonely in the forest because you don't see her anymore. That's all I'm thinking. I know.
Yeah, my bae. I'm ignoring her.
Yeah, you remember how much
Sylvanas.
The stuff you used to talk about her was like, It was like a
I love her. Yeah. I do like playing her quite a bit. Maybe that's a bit strong. I love her. I need to get out.
It was some weird fan. It was like reading alt fiction or slash fiction.
It's
or
just it's me riding Lunara, going through the forest. Think of a Disney movie where we're hanging out, sharing berries together. And
what a bummer, though. She has to be the mode of transportation. That sucks for her. I mean,
does she? Oh, that's like. You know that kind of thing where you just assume that something is like prejudice just because you're like, oh, because I'm a deer, you think you get to ride me? It's just like, no, that's just leave it alone. That's what she is, and I'm a bipedal, so that's what I am, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I just imagine like an argument like, oh, are you going to be here this Christmas? You're going to go help do gifts again? You're a deer like a reindeer, get it? I don't know why I went there.
Actually, that is exactly what I was thinking. And then I thought, there's no way that's what Scott means.
Yep.
And then that's what I meant. Exactly what you meant. Burp, burp, burp.
All right.
She looks like a reindeer.
All right. Well, I've got a few other nuggets.
Yeah. Well, you've got giant caps in here, and I'm nervous about them. So
all right. Keep going. So before we get there, real quick, if you're a Gazlow fan, he's got a quest that has new functionality. Your basic attacks increase the duration of active rocket turrets by 2 seconds. And if you earn a total of 600 seconds of bonus time, you'll reduce the cooldown of rocket turret by 3 seconds. So for Gazlow fans and questing talent fans, this might be for you. I feel like this was inspired by the Carl Gym change of getting like 300 punches. Now you got to get 600 seconds of value. So seems interesting to me. So I feel like Gazlow.
The Carl Gym change on Insight and that quest talent and his ability to reduce cooldown later on in the game, level 16, whatever it is amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. I'm never not healing and not punching. It's just constant punch, punch, punch. I'm constantly doing not volley blows at the other one.
Deadly reach.
Deadly reach. I'm doing that one time after another. There is no pausing. I can solo camps. I can do whatever I need to do constantly all the time. Never stop. It's amazing. Anyway, had to get excited about that for a second.
Big recommend. Yeah. All right. So here's the main event. Scott, you're an Azebo fan.
Yeah.
I think we're all Azebo fans here. Yeah. And that's the sound he makes. All right. Not racist.
Yep.
Send your letters to Blizzard.
Yep.
All right. He has Zombie Wall. All right. You know how annoying Zombie Wall is with all these high mobility champions that can vault out and power slide out and teleport out? Well, abilities that allow heroes to move through units like ETC's Power Slide and Vault can no longer be used to escape Zombie Wall. So they obey the laws of collision of walls, not of minions. Meaning, when you Zombie Wall that Vala, she screwed, and we're happy.
That's amazing. So hold on a second. Yeah. What if I'm Muradin? Can I jump out?
I think he could jump out, because you can jump over a wall.
Right.
Yeah. So things that can move through walls. Like, I'm not sure if teleport reaches through walls. I had a lot of failed teleports on Li Ming. But if it can, like, Illidan, for example, has to spec into a talent that allows his sweeping thing to shoot through the wall, meaning if he doesn't have that and you wall him, I mean, he could probably still dive out of it, but still, it's one less tool that he has to get out of it. And heroes that don't have a lot of those tools, like, you know, ETC and Vala and who else? Gosh, there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Thing that what's his name does.
Leoric.
Tychus.
Leoric.
Oh, yeah, Leoric too.
Leoric can't go through walls with his ghosty movement. So he's stuck in there too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That makes sense, but I would also, now I feel like we're on the development team, because they said in an interview not long ago they have arguments about what moves should be allowed through other moves. I feel like Leoric's ghost thing should get him through the zombie wall. But you're right, he can't do it by default through walls, so maybe not.
Here's the debate. Is it a wall of zombies, or is it a zombie wall? That's the, like... that's the question. It's a good question.
Okay. It's called Zombie Wall. I think that means it's a wall made of zombies, and I don't think material of a wall matters.
Arranged in a wall.
Now, if you say, I've got a wall here you can't get through, what's it made of? Feathers? Oh, well, I'll just run through your feather wall. So I understand that the wall is the same, right? You could say there's a brick and mortar wall, or is this wall made out of air, or, you know, out of taffy, and we're all just going to bust through it. I don't know why it's taffy. But let's just say those are your two extremes. Well, if you're saying zombies, I feel like they're a wall. Like, if
ghosts can go through zombies, it's canon.
Okay.
it's science, actually.
Right. It's just science. If you're a ghost and there's a zombie, you can go through the zombie.
Now, John, the one argument is that these zombies are kind from an ethereal plane of existence in relation to wherever the witch doctor summons them from. So there could be some ectoplasmic levels in the zombie wall, so it exists somewhat on the phantasmal plane.
Oh my gosh.
Meaning that some, you know, paranormal type entities could not pass through. What do you think?
All right, we are going to have to test this. This is going to have to be tested. Like, ghosts can go through zombies. It's just a fact.
I feel like Bo, in a court of law, Bo just referred to some, like, Ghostbusters science. To back up his argument.
I feel like we're having an episode of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah.
I'm Venkman, right?
That's an absolutely huge change, though. I'm very excited to see how it works in practice, and I love that character, so more power to him. What happened to Stitches?
Stitches, okay, just a little quality of life here. The helping hand, because they baked it in, right? You could hook your allies. It toggled on and off. Now, the way it works is if you press Q, it's only against enemies. If you press the one button, it'll launch the hook out and tag friendlies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So, it's less of people making...
share a cooldown.
Less mistakes of people having it toggled wrong. And
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Okay.
And a tiny little buff to Leoric, actually. His Drain Hope will do a little bit more damage, and one of the talents will increase Skeletal Swing damage. Skeletal Swing. So there's that too.
All right. Speaking of obvious stuff that we should know, this came up during between shows. Somebody informed us that walls confer vision. What the hell's that about? Why didn't we know this? Is this like the wizard for me with his freaking health globe? Yeah. Like, what the hell happened there?
We had a big revelation some of us did, about the wizard. In the middle of your minion wave is the one that drops the health globe. It's not random or anything like that. That's where you go to hunt the health globes in lane. And so this was a Reddit thread I saw, and it was like, there's a whole bunch of people in this thread going, oh wow, I didn't know that. And then other people going like, yes, I'm constantly yelling at people to shoot down the walls. So what happens when you take down the forts is you kill the towers, you kill the gate, you kill the cannon, you kill the fort, and you leave those little walls up because you're like, who has time to take down walls? Like, we're going to pay somebody to take care of that. I'm too important to be doing that.
It's just a wall. What could a wall do?
Well, you know, if you're trying to sneak up on some people, or you're trying to keep your plans hidden from the enemy, well, they can see you in a small radius. But if you fly by that thing, they know where you are. And information is power. And so you should be killing the walls too. Mm. Don't give away free vision, folks.
Okay. I had no idea. I still have a hard time telling how much vision I'm getting out of it. Can you tell, John? I don't know.
It's a pretty small radius. I mean, basically, if you go over to the wall when no one's around there, you can typically kind of get that little weird halo effect that kind of shows you through the fog of war. And it's basically that. Mm. It's very tight. I will say, and this was actually also mentioned in the forum, advice is destroy the wall. But I do know that there are some heroes, and I used it as well on Sylvanas, that actually used those walls in a defensive way. Yeah. So I take an ability with Sylvanas that makes me move faster when I shoot with my Wailing Arrow. Mm. So if I'm retreating and that wall's there, I can press Q as I go past it and get a speed boost from it.
Oh.
So you're going to make people a little sad, but ultimately, not showing up on vision is more important. But
is it weird that when I blow them up, I say quietly to myself off Skype, so you guys don't hear me, I say, my watch has ended. Is that weird that I do that?
No.
All right.
It makes the most sense.
Yeah. You got to keep those wildlings north of the wall, everybody. Here's the next thing I'll do, which is not a joke about a Game of Thrones. It's about... Brawl Mania. This is a thing. It's happening at Gamescom in Cologne, Germany, and that's soon. And I don't really understand it. Honestly, it just sounds like a bunch of gimmick games to me. But am I underselling it, Bo? What's happening?
Yeah, who would do gimmick games? Whoever does that, they're complete losers.
How weird.
We did that.
Yeah. For our charity, remember?
Charity brawl. Man, yeah.
That's basically what this is to me.
I gotta say, I'm gonna push my glasses up on my nose real hard here and say, like, these are kind of uninspired game modes. But essentially, There's going to be some show matches with personalities, which is, I guess, is always fun. And it's Alien versus Marines and Horde versus Alliance and Knights versus Wizards. Yeah. Are there knights in this game? I don't.
Well, like Arthas and like who else?
Sir Percival. Is Percival in this?
Joanna's a knight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right.
Probably Leoric even. Leoric used to be a knight. They'll probably just put those types in there. I'll bet Mirrodin is considered one.
Okay. We actually talked about this for the charity brawl, except we called it Armoreds versus Robes. And then we threw out the idea, which is probably why Bo is saying he feels it's uninspired.
I was like, it wasn't weird enough. Everything when we were coming up with those games, it had to be insane and hard to follow. And yeah, so.
Well, it's interesting. Do we know the personalities or who's coming or what the deal is there?
Nope, it was just a little tease to let us know that something's happening, and I'm fairly certain because of Brawl Mania, it's pretty safe to assume announcements for heroes are likely to happen there, and more than just your next hero is whoever. I'm expecting some maps. I'm expecting these show matches to be on some maps.
Do you think that Arena gets talked about at all, or are we never hearing about that again?
Is it okay to answer I'm ambivalent? Like, I don't.
Yeah, this stage, since they've given it no love at all since the announcement at BlizzCon, I don't really have any, I don't think I care anymore.
I think they bring it or don't tell us.
Mm-hmm. As soon as they kind of went back and said, oh, we're reconsidering what it is, it's going to be more like the, what are they called in Overwatch?
Oh, weekly brawls.
The weekly, yeah, whatevers. As soon as they said that, they completely lost my interest in it as a thing. Yeah. I do not care anymore.
I don't care about that either. Although, that Overwatch one that's on right now, the Lucio soccer thing, yes, the freaking Rocket League ripoff is great!
I haven't gotten to try it yet.
Oh my gosh, we should try that tonight. It's a freak. If Battle.net's up, we should try it real quick, because it is straight up Rocket League. I feel like they kind of owe them some money or something. It's weird. It's real
weird.
Well,
that's when I saw the pictures of the package that went out. I was like, and a new arena? That looks like a Rocket League arena. Yep. Why is that in there?
There's a giant soccer ball type ball, but not a soccer ball. A ball with, like, I don't know, weird trim on it and like blinking lights around it. It's a freaking Rocket League ball. Like, straight up. It's like an homage, I guess. Like, that's what this feels like to me. What I was kind of hoping is they were going to maybe work together and we get cars in Rocket League that were themed on Overwatch characters, and then in Overwatch we'd get basically a Rocket League level with a bunch of Lucios doing right click, you know.
Dude, I want a big Reinhardt helmet on my crappy van.
Yeah.
Great.
Totally. So that's what I was hoping for, but I don't think that's what we're gonna get there, unfortunately. Yeah,
that seems bad, because homage would kind of be like it's free, but aren't they selling these loot boxes anyways? Well,
the loot box thing is different. The actual thing in the game is up and you can play it, anybody who wants to. So they're not charging for that, and it's all Olympics like tie-in stuff, and there's no Zika virus mini game or anything fun like that, unfortunately.
That's good. I think that might have brought things down.
You think that was a good move?
bring Lucio Ball. Lucille Ball? Bring Lucio Ball into Heroes of the Storm.
That's kind of
in my head because some people were tweeting about it. I'd like to clarify that I didn't come up with that first, but it sounds, when you say it out loud, Lucio Ball.
Well, let me get you excited about it. You're on your skates. You're in whatever skin you want to be in. Maybe you'll get the soccer skin, but whatever. Mm. It's all Lucios on all Lucios. Blue versus red, basically. And the ball is moved not from you just running into it or shooting it. It's your right click concussion thing that he does that blows people off edges. But the cooldown's removed. So you're just constantly bam, bam, bam. And the ball's just like getting chucked around. I mean, it's totally Rocket League with dudes instead of cars. And it's kind of great. So
sounds great. I want to try it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll see if Battle.net's up and we may give it a shot.
Give it to me top down in Heroes, please.
Okay. You ready for that? I'm ready for that. I don't know if I'm ready for what I'm about to do, though, but here's the theme. It's time for this week's Next Jeopardy episode.
Yes.
Bo has been real weird about it this week, like got all kinds of secrets about what's happening here. So Is there anything you want to explain or set up, or do we just dive in? How do you want
to
do this?
Welcome, folks, to Nexeperity. Welcome to Patch 2.0. That's right. This is the next version of Nexeperity. We have some updates, folks. Ooh. So if you've been listening to the show, you know all the rules. We're not going to go over them all again to save some time, but we are going to explain some of the new rules. We are introducing, drumroll, loot boxes to the gameplay.
Whoa, loot boxes. Check it out. That's awesome.
So loot boxes aren't prizes in this game. They're an in-game mechanic.
All right.
And so the rules are pretty fast and loose, as you guys are familiar, how I treat the rules of this game.
Mm-hmm. Really? I hadn't noticed.
So basically, here's what it is. So throughout the course of the game, you can earn a loot box. Inside the loot box is an item that can help give you an advantage in the game.
Whoa.
And sometimes they're items, sometimes they're buffs, and sometimes they're immediately you have to use it. Okay? You'll find out when you open the box.
Okay, and when do you get these?
That's a good question.
Okay, so you can earn the boxes if you answer a $100 question correctly.
Okay.
All right? Okay. And there is one loot cache hidden throughout the remaining questions that you get each get one before the question is asked.
All right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So now the rules about loot boxes. You can open them whenever you want. Just because you get a loot box doesn't mean you have to open it right away. All items can be used whenever you want unless otherwise specified, because some are immediate or just can't be used in that way.
Yeah.
All items at the end of the game expire except for one special item that carries over from game to game. When you use an item, it's gone. It's no longer an item. It does whatever it does for the most part. And if their multiple abilities go off at once, like a flurry of you guys shooting your items off at each other, then I'm just going to figure out how the best way to resolve it is, and you have to live with it.
So how will this game? How will this game? Will this game skew in my direction and give me an advantage and John not one? Like
the items can be advantageous,
Scott. No
or
matter what they are. Yeah, probably.
They can be advantageous or disadvantageous.
Depending
They're not always
on who
good.
Opens it.
Yeah.
Depending on these babies, I have a set of percentile dice that I'm going to roll on the loot table I've developed specifically for the game D&D style.
Good lord.
The last thing you need to know about items is that items you get destroy other items.
Okay.
Those don't necessarily destroy buffs. There is a buff canceling item in there too. All right, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
The rest of the game is as you know it. And there are four levels of items. Some are more rare, some are legendary, epic, and common.
All right.
Okay. So thanks, this week's category.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. This week's categories are Ready Up Already, Jargon of Terror, and There's No P in Offense.
All right.
Sure. All right. And we're reducing the number of questions. It's only 1 to 300 this week, just so to keep the game more tight.
No, I like it.
It's going real fast today.
This really is a fine-tuning patch day. I like it. All right.
So, John, do you want 51 and higher or 50 and lower? I'm gonna roll for the who gets control.
I'm gonna say lower. My lucky number is lower than that. So.
All right. Roll was 84. And right, so, Scott, well, you have control of the board.
Sweet. All right. I will take. It says 1 through 300. 100 through 300 for each.
That's right. You get a loot box if you answer a $100 question correctly.
Okay. Let's just go ahead and make this interesting. Category 3. Let's do There's No P in Offense for 100, please.
All right. So, whoever answers this right gets the loot box. The Spear of Adun is an arcship designed to preserve Protoss society and culture in its time of great need, but maybe its space pee not so much. Scott?
What is... Oh, shit.
That's a good question. I don't know what he wants. Like, yep, factual.
Wait, hold on. Is it the ability I'm looking for?
For the ability name.
Okay.
I'm for the ability name.
Oh, that would have been good news to know.
Well, I don't know how to write questions. You just gotta get it. All right. Come on, go.
Okay. Oh man, hold on. What is the space pee? It's what is something beam? For. Oh gosh dang it. Now I can't remember it. Space beam.
You're buzzed out. John, do you have an answer? You're beeping in?
What is purifier beam?
Purifier beam.
You are correct. Loot box for you and $100.
Nice.
All right. So you can open the loot box at any time.
Well, I want to open it. I want to know what's in it.
All right, and Scott, you have negative 100.
Yeah.
Next. But don't worry, items can change your fortunes. That's how these things work. Okay. All right, so I'm going to roll. I'm going to roll here.
Okay.
Oh, my God. What a roll indeed. Oh, my God. I can't believe we're doing this. You got a legendary, dude.
Nice.
Whoa. Great.
All right.
Game over.
The rules text on this is pretty crazy. You've opened Manaroth's blood.
Cool.
All right. When you drink this, you turn into a green orc for the rest of the game. All right. You have to answer all questions by attacking them. You hit and kill questions on a roll of 10 or higher. 3 kills wins you the game. You get +2 to rolls with each kill. And if you kill Final Jeopardy, you win the game automatically. However, if you speak in a non-orc voice for the rest of the game, it cancels the buff. So you haven't drank it yet. You don't have to. You can choose to drink it now or drink it later.
You can give a sideways glance to your time-traveling son first and then decide what to do.
I don't know what any of that means, but I'm going to drink the potion.
Okay, you're gonna get 3 warnings, but you have to talk like an orc. It's just a mild orc, but give me orc.
Before he does orc, though, sideways glance to his son. It's a garage over there coming to, mess things up for the warlord's cinematic. All right, anyway. Go ahead.
And you still got to buzz in, all right? Okay, he's just not talking now.
He's not going to do it.
You got to buzz in like an orc. All right, John, you have control of the board.
John will take ready up already for 100.
All right. There's a loot box in this question. I'm beginning now.
My hatred is unending.
Yeah.
Scott?
Who is Illidan?
Correct. You got a loot box, and you're back to 0.
All right. Let's open the loot box.
All right. Let's open loot box. We're going to get a roll in here.
I'm glad you got rid of the 400 so we'd have time for these loot boxes. This is good.
I rolled one wrong die. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
I have to re-roll. I put a d20 in there. Ah, now I missed the box. Hang on. Technical difficulties.
So all John, right, wow, John, John literally can't say anything unless it's orc.
Well, but I have to talk like an orc.
He's got to buzz in to attack it. He chose not to let you lose money, apparently. Mm. You got a NexusDupe.exe netcode injector. So you can use it to make a copy of an item received by an opponent from a loot box when they get it.
Okay.
So keep that in mind.
All right. Do you have an inventory there so I don't forget what I got? I don't remember.
Kind of, yeah.
All right. There, I'll write it down.
There's not too many items. There's a max of 5 items. I wanted to keep it manageable for our minds. So let's continue on.
Okay.
Scott, you have control of the board.
All right. Let's do Jargon of Terror for what's... Have we done any of those yet?
Nope.
100.
All right. So Jargon of Terror. So young children may enjoy doing this activity in the park or beach. Or heroes, players may employ this stratagem in the Nexus.
I don't know.
Are you going to attack the question?
Does Orc know?
I don't know what attacking the question means.
Just say you attack it. I hate that question.
I attack this question.
All right. I'm going to roll a d20 on a 10 or higher. You kill it. 17. You've killed it.
Take that, little question.
All right. And you get the loot box associated with it. So congratulations to that.
Thank you.
You open it. All right. And, So, okay. You found some extra coins in your wallet and you gained $10 immediately.
So now. Fantastic.
Okay.
Scott, you never actually answered that last question, so you didn't lose any points.
No,
right?
I shouldn't have lost anything.
All right. Yeah. All right. So, orcs can't be in control of the board. So, Scott, you still get to pick the next one.
Ah, I see. There's a little bit of a twist there. I like that. All right. Let's do there's no P in offense for 200, please.
All right. This little guy leaves purple puddles of evolutionary perfection in his wake. Scott?
Who is Abathur?
You, sir, are correct.
Okay. It's the perfection part that I got. I've never played him, not even once. I know people think that's weird, but I've never seen him. I didn't know he left things. like puddles. Had no
idea.
Yeah,
it might be pee, it might be poo, but yeah. They are perfect.
All right. They are perfect.
All right, Scott, you continue to be in control of the board.
All right, what's my score, by the way? Just 100 now?
You're at $200, and John is at $110, but he also has one kill.
Okay. Yeah. I will take pee and offense 300, please.
Pee and off. Oh, okay.
There's no pee and offense, sorry.
Yeah, there's no pee and offense.
Yeah.
This hero has an ability which originally generated from his eyes like a fiery pea-like stream. In a fiery pea-like stream.
Beep. I'm going to attack this question.
All right. So you've already killed one. So now it's a 12 or higher to attack the question. You rolled an 8. You did not kill it.
Oh. So what happens now?
Well, you get a chance to answer or you can pass.
Okay. You didn't finish it, though.
Would you please repeat the question? I was focused on attacking.
This hero has an ability which originally generated from his eyes in a fiery pea-like stream.
A fiery pea-like stream? Dang.
From his... Yeah.
Who is Diablo?
Incorrect.
Who is that, then?
Who is Asmodan from Diablo 3? It's the pea fire.
Oh.
Don't remember that?
Yes. Yeah. Gosh dang it. Frick.
It's okay. John can't win with money. He has to win by killing things. So you're in theory still in the lead with the negative 100, unless he turns into a human.
All right.
Which, you know, he can do that just by talking like a human. So be careful.
All right.
All right. You're still in control of the board, my friend.
Ugh. All right. Jargon of Terror for 200.
Jargon of Terror for 200. Loot cash. You both get loot boxes. Oh, man. John or Scott, since you picked it, you can open yours first if you wish.
Let's open it.
All right. Let's roll the dice of fate. 89. You got another epic. Wow. Great rolls today, Scott.
All right.
You got a Deathwing dog whistle.
So wait, what do I do with that?
So wind blown, you summon Deathwing, who destroys all money, reverting both players back to $0.
Okay. Can I hold on to him?
Yep. You don't need to use it. Okay. So you've got a Deathwing dog whistle and you've got a, NexusDupe.exe netcode injector.
Which does
John,
what?
Would you like to open your item?
And the dupe thing lets me duplicate. Can I duplicate something he rolls for or something I make? So I can't make two Deathwing dog whistles, can I?
No, you have to dupe something the opponent makes.
Okay, all right.
So he's going to open a loot box, though. You opening a loot box, John?
Yes. Boy, I'm sure glad this is moving at a brisker pace.
All right, 68. You rolled a 68, so let's see what you got here. All right, maybe there's too many items. You got a Divine Shield energy drink, so you can use to you can use it to prevent one instance of loss of money. So if you're about to lose money because you answered a question wrong, you drink it, and you got Divine Shield.
Great.
Okay, so that's loot cash. Here is the question. You guys ready for this one?
I'm going to attack this question.
Wait. Okay. Wait, before you do that, Scott, did you want to dupe that item for yourself?
Yeah, I'd like to dupe that also.
So now you have a Divine Shield energy drink as well.
And no more dupe. All right, I got it.
Yeah. All right. So, you're attacking the question before it's even read. Well, that's allowed. So let's see if John kills the question.
All right.
I rolled a 6. Sorry.
Nope, didn't kill it.
Yeah. You got to roll 12. Or, no, wait, that doesn't make sense. What you actually killed that question. Sorry.
Oh, how did he with a 6? How do you... Wait, what?
No, it's got to go the other way. That's why you get a +2 to attack rolls. So, no, you didn't kill it.
No, he didn't kill it.
I screwed up my own game. No! All right.
Get the feeling this game was just having its rules made up as we go along.
I didn't think you were going to get Manaroth's blood. All right, actually, you killed the question. All right, that question's dead.
All right, question's dead. So, yeah, who owns the board?
John's got 2 kills.
Do I still have the board?
Yes, you do.
Is there any P in offense left?
Nope, there's only 300 for Jargon of Terror, and Ready Up Already for 200 and 300.
Let's do 200 Ready Up Already.
All right. Let's save some lives.
I'm attacking this question!
I buzzed first, Scott, right?
By a quick hair.
Yeah.
Quick hair.
John threw me off. What would say it one more time?
All right, let's save some lives.
Oh, okay, I got it. Who is Morales?
You got it.
Okay.
Boom, you're back up to the positive.
It's so funny, his orc exclamation literally wiped from my brain the word you said. That is not, I'm not kidding. It's so funny. I couldn't remember anything. Anyway, sorry.
All right.
I smell toast, is that normal? All right, go ahead.
So smell toast too. All right. You have control of the board still.
This is amazing. Ready up already for 300, please.
This realm needs me.
Ape.
Yes, Orc John.
I'm attacking this question.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's a hit. You've hit it.
He orc beeped.
You've killed three questions and you've won next Jeopardy. That's how it works when you get Manoros blood.
Wait. He won? He won the whole thing?
I got a legendary question.
Okay.
Loktar Ogar.
He doesn't have to do that anymore, right? He's not, he can be a human now.
The game is over and he's won the game thanks to Manoros blood.
Okay. Here's, guys.
Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. Here's what I'm going to say. This might be the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, so I think we should keep doing this. That's freaking excellent. Oh my gosh, what a good time that was. All right, just for curiosity's sake, what money did I end up with again? You may have just said and I missed it.
You ended up with 100 and John actually had 110.
Oh, so he would have won either way. Yeah, all right. I like this. That was great. That was like a weird D&D campaign in hell or something. It's fantastic.
Too many items, guys, or not enough? I was worried it'd be too many to manage.
I think that was about right in the end. Now that I understand it, that didn't feel like craziness to me. They didn't feel like playing League of Legends. Ha! Take that, League of Legends! Sick burn!
I just want to tease one thing out to everybody about how excited I am about this. One of the item legendaries available is a Herodric cube.
No way.
That does amazing things.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Maybe next time you'll get one. Who knows?
I want one where John has to talk like that the whole game. Has to talk like him. That'd be amazing. Pardon me. All right, time for this. I assume Deckard Cain farts a lot. Don't ask me why. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail number. You can also leave us emails at core@heroesforyou.com. We have two calls. That's right, two calls. One about Reaper.
Hey, guys, this is Brian, a.k.a. Zombie Duck, calling with a message for the core team. Just wanted to say, Scott's been talking a while about the next Overwatch hero to make it into Heroes of the Storm. And I kind of imagine it's going to be Reaper. If you think about it, he's the antithesis of our effervescent lady, who's already in there chasing around. He would also have great mechanics that would be used really well for Heroes of the Storm, especially if you think about his Death Blossom. His mobility would be really interesting in that environment. So, yeah, I just thought he would be a good one. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Keep it up, and thanks for all the entertainment you provide.
Thanks, man. That's super nice of you. Also, I kind of agree. He'd be a pretty good fit. We've never really talked about him in the context of Heroes, but why not Reaper next? I don't have a problem with that.
I feel like the conversation always goes to, is his kit too much like Vala's if they stay true to it? And I'm going to answer my own question. It is. But I would like Reaper to be the first one where maybe they tinker with the kit a little bit and don't keep it exactly as it is in Heroes.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there are other characters in the game that they do that with pretty well. Like, you know, Vala doesn't behave like Vala does in Diablo necessarily. I mean, there's also a lot more to choose from in Diablo, but I agree with you. I would like to see him mess with that a little bit. What do you think, Bo?
Does Reaper have to be Shotgun Billy in Heroes? Like, can he not... Can any of the Overwatch guys like have other weapons? Like Lucio, does he have to? This is the problem I had with Tracers. She's like, I was explaining to my friend who plays Overwatch, Crofton, who doesn't play Heroes. I'm like, if you love playing Overwatch, if you want to come play Heroes, Tracer is identical. Yeah. So just come try Heroes and play Tracer, and maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't, but at least you'll have something you know. Mm-hmm. But as a Heroes player, I'm like, well, I'd like. You know, maybe Lucio has a switchblade and a shield instead of a sonic gun.
It's a well, it's good not combo.
Racist. It's a little racist.
I just mean something like different. Like,
what are you saying? All you're saying all the black characters should have razors?
He's not black. Saying? He's Brazilian.
Oh,
racist.
Okay. All right. Is he really Brazilian? No, he's not. Is he?
Yes, he's from Brazil. Oh. He's tan, but you know, he's not African American.
But he doesn't have an accent. He's rolling around going speed boost. Like he's not talking like a. American guy at all. You sure about that?
I like that Scott immediately went with racist. My first thought was, why a shield and a switchblade? Like,
I was
sweet, I've got
me.
This switchblade, but I'm gonna need to protect myself too. Better take a shield.
Yeah, no, he's like any of the take any of the characters and just give them like does Reinhardt have to have a hammer? Maybe he's got fist weapons, right? Mm, I don't know.
That's true. No, I mean, look, they've got two of the more famous shaman in the game, in Thrall and Rhaegar, and they made a very distinct decision there. They said, well, we're gonna have one be this offensive character who's all about attacking, and he's gonna be pulling the elements and doing whatnot, and then you got the other guy who's gonna heal and transform and do other stuff. So, you know, I think they're both shaman, right? One of them, he's not a druid. Yeah, he's shaman, right? Am I saying?
Yeah, I think they're both shaman or shaman, whatever the correct pronunciation is.
Yeah, or
pronunciation.
Skeletal, whichever one's the more skeletal of the two. But my point is they've had to do some of that already. So, yeah, like, let's shake it up a little. I agree with you on that. I think Tracer as a first attempt is fine. Like, I think it's fine to say, hey, she's straight across translates. I don't think you'd want to do much else to her. The things she does, I think, are compelling enough to do interesting things in Heroes that you don't want to mess with it too much. But fist weapons on Reinhardt, or, you know, Roadhog with something that very much distinguishes him from Stitches, so he's not just hooking like Stitches does or something, is a way more interesting proposition. And I'll bet that's what they end up doing over time.
Yeah.
Good call.
Give Winston a pile driver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be great, right?
Yeah.
Here's another one about ruts and how to get out of them.
Hey, this is voicemails for the Core Podcast. Hey, guys. I just had a comment and a question. The question was, kind of the three of you, what do you guys do when you're just in a real rut with Heroes? Games aren't going well. Is there like a go-to hero you go to get you out of that, just to get you feeling normal again? And the comment is Gorath. I believe you were the one who forgot to draft for a game. I feel the pain, man. I just did the same shit. Terrible. It feels terrible. You feel like an idiot. All right, man. Thank you. Bye.
I think I played with him the other night. He did the same thing. He drafted he banned Johanna while our very first picker or second picker had Johanna selected. And then I can't remember what else happened. That was a poop show. It was a horrible game. I think that may have been that guy. I had fun.
No, well, you know, these mistakes happen. Yeah. And we have there to have fun. But yeah, yeah,
it's fine. What was his original point? I forgot the
how to get out of a rut.
Oh, yeah, how to get out of the rut. So, John, we were just having this conversation about Hero League and how sometimes demoralizing and non-motivational it can be to want to get in there and dig yourself out of bronze or out of silver or wherever people might be at as a solo experience. Yet if all five of us show up for, Team League, we're all in sort of thing. Is that the main difference, is just who you're playing with and that's it?
Yeah, I'm not going to have very good advice for this guy, I'm afraid, because I'm actually in a little bit of a rut myself, and my solution is I play with friends. And I basically have said no to solo queue for till I feel like it's gone. But right now, what happens with me is it's almost like a cycle. I, you know, play with my friends, I have a really great time, I get way into Heroes. Turns out I have a little more free time than my friends, and then I'm in and I'm like, all right, well, I want to play. I'll play by myself. And I play by myself and I have the worst experience in the world. And I say, all right, in a rut, don't like this, not going to play. And then I play with my friends again and the cycle repeats. So I would just say find what you enjoy in that game, whether it's playing with friends, whether it's just doing casual quick matches, whether it's learning a new hero and maybe forgetting about competitive for a little bit. Find what will make the game fun for you again and do that for a little bit until you can kind of jump back into Hero League and be okay with it, if that is what you're trying to play towards. And if it's just a rut of you're losing all the time, take Bo's advice from last week and try to start working on a tank support or specialist.
Yep. Get some of those other, do some unranked draft or quick play and level up some of those people you don't have to five yet. That's kind of the thing I'm doing right now. I've got a lot of characters I just bought and haven't touched, or they're just sitting there at two or three and not doing anything. Get those guys to five, then they're playable in Hero League. Then you've got a bigger roster to mess with. You've had some more experience under your belt with those characters. And, you know, who knows? You may start winning matches. I mean, that's essentially what you were saying last week, is just expand, you know, broaden your use case, and you may surprise yourself how many times you win after that.
Yeah, Remember, have fun. If you're tilting too, then that's, if you're like constant, just that helps you lose. So remember to have fun.
GL, go play fun modes. GLHF, man. That's what we say.
I like everything that you guys said.
Thank you.
It's very good.
We like that you think it's very good. What are we doing now? Oh, that's the last call. Hey, guess what? 801-471-0462. That's the number. That's where these people called. You can have your own call read here on the show, or actually played. It wouldn't be read. That'd be weird. Also, core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. Now, quick note before we get out of here. The Rally Point Podcast, a twice-a-week show about nothing but esports and competitive gaming. That includes fighting games, FPSs, MOBAs, including Heroes of the Storm. We have an interview with Gillyweed coming up very quick, along with every other kind of competitive game, CCGs, all of it, covered twice a week for Bleacher Report. Yeah, I know, they're usually known for, quote-unquote, real sports, but now they're going to be known for their work with competitive gaming. And it's myself, Brian Huff, and Seven hosting the show. First episode is up. Today was the big day. So if you want to go check that out, you're more than welcome to. BleacherReport.com/esports, and you'll find it. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. Go search iTunes. We're currently featured and rising in the ranks. You'll probably just run into us there, so you can search for us there if you use iTunes, if you use Google Play, if you use whatever app you use. It's all free, and it can be available wherever you want it. So go get that. First episode is up and out. We talk a lot about E-League and what's going on in CSGO, some of the controversies that are happening. And, Big Heroes episode coming up on Friday with Gillyweed from who casts a lot of Heroes games, who it says she'll come on here, too, and play Nex Eperty with us sometime.
Oh, yes. Come on to Nex Eperty. We need fresh blood. Yeah. I mean, new contestants.
Yeah. We need someone else to be confused by how this works. So it's going to be good. I really look forward to that. So anyway, people, check it out. That's Rally Point. That's the podcast. It's kind of a big deal for the three of us, and we're excited about it. And I think it's a great companion to this show, so do check it out. I think that's it. Yeah, we're done. Hang around, chat room. We're going to play some games. You guys can watch and maybe even get in a game or something. Heroesforyou.com is the website. AlphaGeekRadio.com does a simulcast of this show. Big thanks to them, as always. You can join us in the game /joinfrogpants and play with us. That'd be cool. core@heroesforyou.com. Again, the number is 801-471-0462. You can find John on Twitter @John_Jagger, Bo @BoSchwartz, Scott @ScottJohnson, and the show @CoreHeroes. That will do it for us. For me, for Bo, and for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.